The comfort of your favorite seat is now your comfy car selling command center, thanks to Carvana.
It doesn't get any better than this.
Your favorite seat's the best spot in the house. Make it even better by entering your license plate or VIN and getting a real offer in minutes.
There really is no place like home.
And speaking of home, Carvana will pick up your car from yours after you finalize your offer. Visit Carvana.com or download the app and sell your car from your comfy place.
Man, that sunset is gorgeous.
Grill, patio, sunset. Hard to get better than that. Unless you're browsing Carvana's inventory while you soak it all in.
Oh, burger time.
So sit back, get comfortable. Carvana's got thousands of cars under $20,000 just waiting for you.
I could stay here forever.
Carvana, where car buying meets comfort meets convenience. Download the app or visit Carvana.com today.
Hi, Daryl. Welcome to Self Care Club.
Hi, thank you for having me.
Just wanted to start with a question of why is humility so important?
I think humility is important for a number of reasons. The first reason is humility really helps improve our relationships. So a lot of scientific research suggests that we really prefer people who are humble to people who are not. We'd rather date them, be their friends, work with them. But we also know that humility is important because it helps us have an accurate view of ourselves and the world around us. So for those of us who are looking to improve ourselves, experience personal growth, we need to have an accurate sense of our strengths and our weaknesses and areas where we can grow. And then finally, humility is really important for helping us connect with people who are different from us, for bridging divides across politics, religion, or other areas that seem rather divisive.
Okay. Can you, I've asked a few people in my life this week as part of our practice, how humble I am, how much humility they think I have. And each and every one has asked me, well, what do you mean by humility? Can you give us your definition of what your definition of humility is?
Yeah, absolutely. So there's two ways to think about it. So one way to think about it is that humility is about being the right size in a situation. So not too big, but also not too small. So a lot of people understand that the not being too big, so not being overinflated or arrogant, and that makes a lot of sense to people. But also it's about being not too small, so not shrinking, not deferring to others when you have expertise. So if I'm going to go see the doctor, if I'm going to see a neurosurgeon and I need brain surgery and they come in, I don't want them to say, gee, Daryl, what do you think I should do in this situation, right? They have the expertise. I want them to step into that. The other way of thinking about humility is it's our ability to know ourselves, check ourselves, and go beyond ourselves. So by know ourselves, people who are humble have an accurate view of their strengths and their weaknesses, things they're good at, but also things they need to change. To check ourselves means we can kind of reel in and keep our selfish motivations in check. So we don't act defensively. We don't pretend to be superior to other people, but instead we value other people. And then finally, to go beyond ourselves is we consider the priorities of others. So we really prioritize what other people need in a situation and think of their needs in addition to our own.
Okay.
In addition to, I like that.
In addition.
Yeah. And so our podcast obviously is about well-being and self-care. And I'm wondering if a lot of listeners would be thinking, well, what's humility got to do with our well-being? How does being a more humble person benefit our well-being?
Yeah, that's a great question, you know, because a lot of people probably would think, you know, putting yourself first is probably the way to make sure you're caring for yourself the best.
Yeah.
But really what we see is we live in cultures where the desire to promote oneself and to be caught up in the narcissistic traps of our society really have left us feeling more anxious, more alone, more depressed than we've ever felt before. And what we're doing simply isn't working. And so humility really does help our well-being. So some of the research my colleagues and I have done have found that people who are humble and who also find a humble partner, they navigate life transitions a lot better. So the transition to parenthood, persistent disagreements in their own relationships, all of those things physiologically, they have better responses when they and their partner are humble. You might also imagine though that it's probably good for our self-care. It's probably good for our well-being when we can accurately see ourselves. So if we're deluded into thinking we're the best at everything, or we don't acknowledge some of our weaknesses, we don't really know how to grow. And so humility is really going to be helpful because it really fosters a sense of seeing yourself for who you are. And what it does is it's rooted in a deep sense of security. So I don't have to go chase external standards of worth or beauty or wealth in order to feel like I'm enough. I can just be enough and out of that live the life of humility.
So all this obsession with our self-esteem and feeling like our self-esteem is based on how many likes we get on our post and how many followers we have on Instagram, it's actually making us worse because we're chasing something endlessly that actually, if we felt like we were enough and if we felt secure enough, we wouldn't need that to help us along, right?
Yeah, that's exactly right. So all of the things that we're doing that we think are making us feel better are kind of backfiring. There's always going to be someone who has more followers, who has a post that gets more likes, people that have more money that we think look more attractive than us. And so when we put our self-esteem, our worth, and our well-being in the hands of other people, it's incredibly disempowering. And we leave our well-being up to other people. So humility can be a way of taking back a sense of autonomy and agency and control in our lives.
I love it. Daryl, can you talk us through the four primary types of humility?
Yeah, absolutely. So the first place that we often see humility showing up is in our relationships. So researchers call this relational humility. So if in your personal relationships, in your romantic relationships with your friends, if people say, yeah, this person is humble, they're aware of who they are, they're modest, they can share the praise, but they also accept part of the blame, that would be relational humility. A second place we see humility is around ideas or our beliefs. And that's what people call intellectual humility. So acknowledging that what I believe might be fallible, and in fact, I might actually be wrong. A lot of us don't like to think that we're wrong, because if we did, we'd change our mind. And being willing to revise our beliefs based on sufficient evidence is intellectual humility. A third and a really desperately needed form of humility right now is cultural humility. So cultural humility is the acknowledgement that the way I see the world, my worldview, is just one of many ways of seeing the world. And it's not superior. It's not the best way. And in fact, I demonstrate curiosity to learn from other people who have a different worldview and to value their diverse perspective, which might be different than my own. And finally, the last is what's called existential humility. So this is in the light of the universe, of something larger than ourselves, we can appreciate our smallness. We can appreciate something that's bigger than us. And it grounds us with a deep sense of gratitude.
Interesting. We always find that our practices go back to gratitude.
Yes.
In the end. Yeah.
They always overlap. With all of our mental practices, you kind of can't not come face to face with good old gratitude.
It's true.
This week, we are sponsored by Notion.
Why do we love Notion? Because it brings our ideas to life. It's like having access to tomorrow's tools today by combining all our research, scripts, and notes into one simple space with the added power of AI built right inside, not a separate AI tool or browser tab.
I used it the other day to plan all our social content for the next 3 months. It's made what's usually a really long, daunting task super quick, simple, and streamlined, leaving us with more time and energy to focus on what truly matters, which is bringing self-care to the listeners and less stress for us.
Notion is a place where any team can write, plan, organise, and rediscover the joy of play. And the Notion AI turns that knowledge into action. It can answer any question in seconds, summarise your meeting notes, and keeps you completely organised. If you can think it, you can make it. It's become an integral part of our podcasting toolkit, and we're calling it self-care.
Try Notion for free when you go to notion.com/self-care club.
That's all lowercase letters, notion.com/self-care club, and start turning ideas into action. And when you use our link, you're supporting our show.
Notion.com/self-care club.
The comfort of your favorite seat is now your comfy car selling command center, thanks to Carvana.
It doesn't get any better than this.
Your favorite seat's the best spot in the house. Make it even better by entering your license plate or VIN and getting a real offer in minutes.
There really is no place like home.
And speaking of home, Carvana will pick up your car from yours after you finalize your offer. Visit Carvana.com or download the app and sell your car from your comfy place. That's not just the sound of that first sip of Morning Joe. It's the sound of someone shopping for a car on Carvana from the comfort of home.
That's a good blend.
It's time to take it easy, like answering some easy questions to get pre-qualified for a car in minutes.
Talk about starting the morning right.
Just like customizing your terms so your car fits your budget.
Mm-mm-mm.
Visit Carvana.com or download the app to experience car shopping the way it should be. Convenient, comfortable. Ah.
What are some simple ways that people can go about bringing humility into their own lives?
Yeah, one of the first places to start is to get a sense of how humble other people think that you are. So the very first time I ever did an interview on humility, the interviewer wanted to know, well, how humble, does your wife think that you are?
Right.
And so on this particular day, it might not have been my best day to ask. My wife and I were supposed to go to the beach. And I took an interview at the exact time we were supposed to go to the beach. I promised my wife it'd only take 15 minutes. The interview ended up taking an hour. She was very patiently waiting. She had packed everything to go ready to the beach. And then when I come upstairs from the interview, I ask her, oh, by the way, can you just take everything that you've just packed to the beach and I'll meet you there? Because I was training for a marathon. I'll run the 7 miles and meet you there. So I made her wait. I'm asking her to lug all this stuff. And then at the end, I say, by the way, how humble do you think I am? And she gave me a 4 out of 10, which right, in the moment, I thought that was pretty low. But on retrospect, that was probably a pretty generous assessment. So even people who are steeped in it, people who think that they're pretty good at it, we actually need to know. So we should ask people around us how humble we are. When they tell you, don't do what I did. So what I did when I got that feedback is I immediately became defensive. And I started making excuses. And I said, oh, you don't know how humble I am. That if you've done that, you've lost the plot. So if you can resist defensiveness and actually realize that people are being honest with you, they're being vulnerable by telling you how humble they think or not humble they think you are. And so take that feedback honestly, take it as information. And then third, really work to develop empathy. If there was just one thing I could suggest people to do, it's to be empathic towards others. So empathy is really trying to take the perspective of somebody else and trying to attune yourself emotionally to what it is they might be feeling. If you can cultivate empathy, that's going to cascade in so many areas of your life, including with humility. And then the last thing is, I'd say it's a constant practice. So it's something you have to commit to regularly. Our culture is a moving sidewalk towards narcissism and self-promotion. And if you do nothing, you're just going to start winding back towards selfishness. So practice is the best way to make small gains in humility.
Nice. How do we get that line right? Because it is a fine line, isn't it, between being narcissistic and having too big a sense of yourself, and yet then there's the other side, which is you're not believing in yourself enough. It feels like a very fine plank that we're walking on. How do we master that?
Because we're all told now, you should have good self-esteem. You should be great. You should be bigging yourself up. You know, that is very much what's promoted to everyone.
Yeah, absolutely. And it is a tough balance. And I'll admit it's absolutely a tough balance. And so for some people, they need to right size down a little bit, right? So some people just kind of naturally have, they take up more space perhaps than maybe warranted. And they tend to drift more towards narcissism. Whereas other people, they might, in order to be humble, they might need to actually step into their space a little bit more. They might need to take up a little bit more space than they have before, because it's all about attuning to the right size based on your strengths or weaknesses. And a lot of times what we found is that people who are in historically overlooked or marginalized groups, humility has really been used as a tool of oppression against them. They've been told, be humble. And what they hear and what other people are saying is kind of be small and stay out of our way so we can maintain the power. And that's not actual humility, right? And so for folks who have typically been underappreciated or underpowered or disempowered, humility might mean kind of stepping up into that right size.
Okay, nice. I like also in your book, the way you brought experiencing awe as part of humility, because we also did a week of awe walking where we had to go for a walk in nature to somewhere we go all the time or a new place and just not with our phones, just be there and just really experience that. And so that really resonated.
I did that this morning.
Did you?
It's awesome. It's such an easy time in the woods to find the awe, and there's just beauty everywhere. If you look for it, you have to look for it. Yeah.
Right. Yeah. So for me, nature is really one of the things that grounds me in so many ways, particularly in humility as well. You know, when I'm around trees that are hundreds of years old, I look around and I think, these trees have been here long before I arrived. They'll be here long after I'm gone. And to be honest, they don't care that much about me. And there's something wonderful about feeling so insignificant and so surrounded by the permanence of nature that really just helps me realize that what I think is so important and some of the things that I get so anxious or stressed or preoccupied with don't matter as much in the scope of the broader life around me. I had a particular experience with my wife when we were in Iceland. We happened to see the Northern Lights.
Wow.
And just, I mean, a beautiful experience in the middle of the night with the Northern Lights just reminded me of my own kind of cosmic smallness. And like you said, the awe that I felt was so overwhelming. I couldn't help but just feel small and particularly grateful, as you said, because it all comes back to gratitude and humbled.
Mm. When I was doing my, I'm a coach, and when I was doing my coaching course, we would do a weekend every month. And at the end of every weekend, the one thing that I always walked away with was humility, because I was always surrounded by people's vulnerability, people's truth, people's honesty, people's rawness. And I just, my favorite emotion was always to sit in that humility and feel so grateful that I was able to experience that.
Yeah. And it really sounds like during those weekends, one of the things that was so powerful was you were able to get beyond yourself, right? You were able to connect with other people. You could see their vulnerability invited your vulnerability. And my sense is at a certain point, you felt like you could be your authentic self. And I think that humility allows us to live life more authentically, because when we're chasing external standards of affirmation or worth, we never really feel like we can show ourselves. Because see, I think one of the core human fears we have is rejection. And I don't think it's rejection in like, oh, you know, people don't like me. People don't love me. It's more of being known and being rejected. Mm. So many of the times we don't actually show our true selves. And so when we feel rejected, what we can say is, oh, well, they didn't really know me. They rejected this image of me or this persona of me. And so it's more terrifying to share your real self, because then if they reject that, well, gosh, you know, what do you have left? And so when we can be invited into sharing ourselves vulnerably, that can be powerfully transformative.
I love that. Mm. So this is a question that we ask all of the guests on our show. What do you do for your own self-care?
Oh gosh, this is so good. So I've talked about some of these things. So probably the one of the top things is spending time in nature. So whether that's hiking, I'm a big runner. So running, and if I can run in nature, that's just so restorative to me. You know, spending time with my wife. We just adopted a little rescue puppy. And so if my wife and I take the rescue puppy on a walk or down to the water, that's powerful for me. And then cooking is actually so different from anything I do in my daily life as a professor. And so being able to do something with my hands and just taking a long time to cook and make a meal is another form of self-care for me.
Totally with you there. I find it so soothing and so satisfying and almost meditative. There is something wonderful about taking ingredients and creating something from it, and just the whole process. I love it.
Yeah.
I thought you were talking about the running for a minute.
Definitely not the running. Nicole does the running and I do the cooking. That's yes. How it works. Yeah.
Daryl, thank you so much. That was amazing and very insightful. So thank you for your book, and thank you for being on this interview. If people want to hear more about your work and your book, please tell them where they can find you.
Yeah, so my book is available in bookstores or on from Amazon. They can find more information about me on my website, darylvantongeren.com, or on Twitter, drvantongeren, or Instagram at darylvantongeren.
And we should just say the name of the book is called Humble.
Yes. Thank you so much for having me. I appreciate it.
Thanks so much.